Another outbreak of avian flu has hit two commercial poultry farms in Wisconsin. It's Monday, March 9th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, state lawmakers are considering a bill to deregulate what's known as cryptocurrency staking, and how one Madison family is navigating the presidential order which ended gender-affirming care for minors at the state's largest pediatric hospitals.
My husband actually read about it on Reddit first, that UW Health was pausing care.
Stay with us.
Hello, it's Michelle Martin. At Morning Edition, we bring you the news of the day, but also conversations about art.
The piano was where I left all of my words and all of my stories and all of my pain.
Scientific findings.
In total, I think we looked at over 500 specimens. That's a lot of poop.
And stories that make you smile. Start your weekdays informed and inspired with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Two large commercial poultry farms in southeastern Wisconsin have been hit with avian flu, totaling more than 3 million birds. As Hope Kerwin reports, some local officials are struggling to respond to the repeated outbreaks.
One of the farms is the first in Walworth County to be hit by avian flu. The highly contagious virus has been circulating since 2022. But the farm in Jefferson County is the second case there in a week, and the sixth time overall the county has seen an outbreak. Elizabeth McGarry is Jefferson County's health director. She says each outbreak is a strain on local agencies that oversee the culling and disposal of millions of infected birds.
It really is difficult for the residents. It's difficult for the workers. It's difficult for us to be still in the middle of continuing our response and then starting another one.
McGarry and the county's Board of Health are asking lawmakers for a more unified statewide response, including more resources for groundwater monitoring around where birds are being composted. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a proposal to allow for what's known as crypto staking. That's where people lock their digital assets, like Bitcoin, onto the blockchain with the hopes of earning returns. Current state law defines the practice as a form of securities trading. That means it's functionally not allowed without following certain regulations. Republican Representative Adam Nealon of Pewaukee aims to change that. His bill would exclude staking from the state's securities laws. But Lorenzo Cruz of the Wisconsin Bankers Association said the bill could harm consumers by setting up a financial system without any state oversight.
Treating digital asset activities differently, based solely on their technological form, may create gaps in oversight and result in an uneven regulatory framework.
The federal government has also changed how it defines staking. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission used to call it a security, but new guidance last summer changed that. The school district of Waukesha could soon become the next district in the state to start randomly drug testing students. The district is exploring a drug testing program for student athletes or for youth who participate in extracurricular activities. They would be joining other districts in the area who already have policies in place for high schoolers. Carrie Kozlowski is the treasurer of the Waukesha School Board. She said she would support such a program, but had questions about its cost.
So who is going to be executing the random drug tests? Where are these random drug tests done?
A policy draft could be discussed by Waukesha's school board this spring. A 2002 U.S. Supreme Court ruling upheld the ability of school districts to perform drug tests on certain students. Women's flag football is growing, and a number of Wisconsin's colleges are adding it as a varsity sport. As Joe Schultz reports, this year marks the inaugural season for the sport at UW Oshkosh.
Members of the UW-Oshkosh women's flag football team cheer each other on as they compete in drills during a 6 a.m. practice. It's one of at least 10 Wisconsin colleges that have either added or announced plans to add the sport. UW-Oshkosh junior Ashlyn Clemens, a wide receiver and defensive back, welcomes that growth.
When you think of football, you think of big, tough guys tackling each other, but now we're changing that narrative.
Women's flag football has also been named an emerging sport by the NCAA, and it's set to debut at the 2028 Summer Olympics. The Oshkosh Titans opened their season last month. They lost, but they're not letting that keep them down.
Girls, one, two, three, four!
Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Always love hearing about my alma mater, Hail Titans. Coming up here on the program, how one family continued gender-affirming care for their transgender son after a federal executive order put it at risk. Stay with us.
I'm Pam Schwartzbach. My husband, Troy Cutray, and I are the owners of Hive of Madison. Hive of Madison is an outdoor lifestyle and boutique here in Madison, Wisconsin.
It is very frequent that we hear from customers.
We heard you on public radio today.
More than any other thing that we do to promote our business, it is public radio that we hear our customers thanking us for.
We find that public radio definitely resonates with our customer.
Learn more about business sponsorship at wpr.org/sponsor.
And finally, following an executive order from President Donald Trump, Wisconsin's largest pediatric hospitals have halted gender-affirming care to minors. The order enacted in January means that if Children's Wisconsin and UW Health continued those services, they would lose funding for Medicare and Medicaid. This also means some children undergoing gender transition are abruptly stopping puberty blockers and hormone therapy, leading to mental health struggles. But one Dane County family took precautions to ensure that their transgender son, Alex, had continuous care until his 18th birthday this July. Here to share more is Alex's mom, Megan. Your Alex is 17 years old, and I understand he began exploring his gender several years ago. Can you take me back to that time? Tell me a little bit about the process and how it eventually led to his name change.
You know, our Alex, he has always went to the beat of his own drummer. He loved his brother's hand-me-down clothes, but also went through a sparkle phase. So he has always done exactly what he wants to do and has known that doesn't really fit with what other his peers were experiencing. He started exploring gender in sixth grade. We talk a lot about inclusivity here in our home. And at the end of sixth grade, he really started at school first with a name change that we didn't know about. Maybe like a month after he started using it at school, he shared it with us to start using it at home. Eventually, he started experimenting with other pronouns, asked that we use he, him, and started kind of transitioning socially to a boy the next year in school.
So I understand that Alex has been using testosterone now for about 2 years through UW Health's Pediatric and Adolescent Transgender Health Clinic. When the federal executive order was issued, how did your family find out and what was the reaction like?
That was really hard news to process. My husband, Luke, has been really proactive in following, you know, any executive orders that might be impacting transgender, either youth or adults. But specifically with UW, our doctor, we would ask questions and ask what their thoughts were as each executive order came out. And this last one, my husband actually read about it on Reddit first, that UW Health was pausing care. And then we have a resource group of parents of trans children. And so we heard it on there as well. And then we happened to have our regular checkup planned with Alex's doctor with UW. And then that the doctor shared with us then that, you know, UW would likely be pausing. And that was like January 5th that we had that appointment. It was January 13th. It came out.
What type of care is Alex able to receive right now through the UW Path Clinic?
His care is done. They had to stop prescribing new prescriptions. We can still consult with them in general about his care, but it can't be about gender affirming.
Your family decided to take some precautions ahead of that executive order to make sure that Alex does have hormone therapy until his 18th birthday, which is coming up later this summer. What conversations did you have with his physicians at that time to be able to receive enough doses?
Our doctor really worked with us on safe ways, safe strategies to help Alex either lower his dose or ration his doses so that he could make them last longer without lowering the impact of the testosterone for him. We worked out a plan where, you know, we have a new prescription for the testosterone that will last longer, you know, but I feel so badly for so many families impacted.
There are lots of November elections coming up here in Wisconsin, particularly for governor, where Governor Evers, the incumbent, is not going to be running again. What concerns you most about the November election and the rights of those people who are transgender?
That's one of our top concerns right now. I mean, honestly, I feel terrified for both trans adults and trans youth. I mean, Governor Evers has been, you know, the one to veto the bills. And if we lose a governor who's an ally, that's going to be really, really hard. That gender-affirming care, Alex experiences a lot of gender euphoria where he feels like now his body and who he's supposed to be match and is joyful again and actually went off anxiety medication because he's doing so well. These are just people who are wanting to live their lives authentically who they are, and they should be allowed to do that.
That was Megan, Alex's mom, talking about gender-affirming care for her 17-year-old son. A federal executive order is currently in effect, halting those services for minors. And we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Mostly cloudy today, but still warmer than usual, with highs in the 50s and 60s across Wisconsin today. Pretty light winds as well. Overnight, still cloudy. Chance for a little bit of a wintry mix in northwestern Wisconsin, with lows in the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Glad you could join us. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. It just takes a few minutes, helps other people find the show, and it helps us understand what you like and what we could be doing better. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.